From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. For joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns has recently begun a series of studies in the earthly life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, messages that will take us from Christ's baptism through His sacrificial death on the cross and His glorious resurrection from the dead. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon from his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, He Constantly Abides. The text is 1 Samuel 12, verse 22. For the Lord will not forsake His people for His great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you His people. God's choice of His people is the reason for His abiding by them and not forsaking them. He chose them for His love, and He loves them for His choice. His own good pleasure is the source of their election, and His election is the reason for the continuance of His pleasure in them. It would dishonor His great name for Him to forsake them, since it would either show that He made an error in His choice or that He was fickle in His love. God's love has this glory, that it never changes, and this glory He will never tarnish. By all the memories of the Lord's former loving kindnesses, let us rest assured that He will not forsake us. He who has gone so far as to make us His people will not undo the creation of His grace. He has not wrought such wonders for us that He might leave us after all. His Son Jesus has died for us, and we may be sure that He has not died in vain. Can He forsake those for whom He shed His blood? Because He has hitherto taken pleasure in choosing and in saving us, it will be His pleasure still to bless us. Our Lord Jesus is no changeable lover. Having loved His own, He loves them to the end.
Lord, you are my
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? And how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it. As part of this series in the life and earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled, The Completeness and the Consequences of Christ's Victory over the Tempter. In considering Christ's temptation by Satan, it is important to recognize the Savior's true humanity, for only as he was truly human could he be tempted in all points as we are. Satan came to Christ with the same sneering insinuation, If thou be the Son of God. It was the same approach he used with Eve in the garden. Yea, hath God said. It is always a mistake to enter into dialogue with the devil. He was tempting Christ to abandon trust in the Father. He wanted Christ to prove his sonship without the cross. Such is his hatred for redemption by blood. Now Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of this message, The Completeness and Consequences of Christ's Victory over the Tempter.
In Luke chapter 11, 21-22, the Lord Jesus said, when he was accused of casting out devils by Satan's power, he said, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. And that's precisely what Christ did to Satan in the wilderness of temptation. Until then, the strong man was armed. The strong man was keeping his palace in peace, that is, undisturbed. But a stronger than he came upon him, and he defeated him. He disarmed him, and then he despoiled him. Notice very carefully the dividing of the spoils. I have often referred to Isaiah's question in chapter 49, 24, and you should notice the question and the answer. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? Now bring this into the context of what we've been looking at in Luke 4 and Luke 11. Satan is a strong man sitting in his palace undisturbed, and he's got poor guilty sinners willfully bound to himself, and he's holding them to drop them into hell. That's the picture. The strong man has the sinners of this world imprisoned within his grasp. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty? What a question. You launch the power of religion against Satan, and what happens? It merely strengthens his grip upon the lost and dooms their soul to a deeper darkness. We are told that education will do it. You launch the power of education and culture, and what will it do? It will make them all the greater sinners. Never release them. You let economic prosperity loose upon them. Will that make them better people? Has it made America a better country? When people were struggling for a living in America, did they murder 1.5 million babies a year? Did they legalize sodomy? Did they turn the Constitution on its head to make the Wiccan religion legally the equivalent of the worship of Jehovah? Has economic prosperity made this a more moral, decent, godly, righteous, lovely place? No, sir. It only makes sinners the more self-centered and the more determined to say we will not have this man to reign over us. So shall the prey be taken from the mighty? Think of all the government schemes to stop the drug epidemic. The billions that have been spent on social programs to ameliorate the moral condition of men. It's never, never succeeded. There are more people in prison in America today than any time in its history. There are more people diagnosed insane. I don't know whether that's because there are more insane people or just more psychiatrists wanting a living. There are more suicides. There are more murders. There's more rape, there's more incest, there's more adultery, there's more breakup of marriage. You go right down the line. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty? Thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible will be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will see of thy children. That's the only answer. Christ set out to prove it. As he set out upon his ministry, he encountered iniquity. He encountered impenitence. He encountered deep ignorance. And as I've already referred to, he encountered demon possession and demon activity on an unprecedented scale. And over against all these things, what did the Lord Jesus Christ set? His word. Read the Gospels. Now and again, there was his touch, and that's for a very good reason. I'm not going to go into this morning. Another time we'll consider the touch of the Master's hand, when and why he touched. But even with his touch, there was always his word. Against all the iniquity and ignorance and impenitence and demonism that he encountered, he issued his own incisive word. He never argued with the devil. He never held a dialogue with the devil. He commanded. His incisive word. It was always an imperative word. Come out of him. You remember he said that to the legion of devils in the demoniac of Gadara? Just with one command. Come out of him. When he came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, there was a distraught father. And he says, I brought my demon-possessed son to your disciples, and they couldn't help him. Must say that that text always bothers me. I brought him to your disciples, but they had no power to do anything. How often that's true of ourselves. How often it's true of the church. People bring the needy loved ones, and we don't have power with God, and we don't have power with man. We have so little spiritual dynamite that they're none the better. Jesus said, bring them to me. Just bring them to me. With one word, an imperative word, he set him free. Against all this power of sin and darkness and hell, the Lord Jesus Christ simply opposed his word. And through that word, he let loose his mighty power in the power of the Spirit. He set forth into Galilee, and then the rest of the story is history. He commanded the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the lame to walk, the dead to rise. He commanded the woman who had been bound by an evil spirit, physically bound because she was spiritually bound. She was bowed right over. She could in no wise raise herself up. Commanded her to be free. He commanded the possessed to be at rest. You've got that beautiful description in Mark 5 of the demoniac of Gadara, now sitting and clothed and in his right mind. He commanded the guilty to be pardoned and to be reconciled to God. By the word of his power, he loosed this mighty divine virtue and energy. And you know, when he went to the cross, it was to complete Satan's rout forever. What does Colossians 2:15 tell us? It says that having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them, openly triumphing over them in it, that is, in his cross. What was he doing at Calvary? At Calvary, Christ was consummating what he had so powerfully accomplished in the wilderness of temptation. You follow him with the apostles into the book of the Acts, and he continued through them to devastate Satan. In Acts chapter 8 and in verse 7, we read the words about Samaria, that unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them. At the end of Mark chapter 16, he gives the promise. That is not, as some snake handlers would have you believe, a promise to every Christian that must be fulfilled in every case, in every era of time. But it is what overall marked the New Testament church. And it was power against the powers of hell. He continued through the book of the Acts against Satan. And he continues the same thing today. Remember what Hebrews 7:25 says? He is able to save to the uttermost. Some of you with good memories will remember this, but a number of years ago, I linked two texts of Scripture. One concerning the woman who was bent over double. She was bound by Satan. And it says that she could in no wise lift herself up. The Greek text simply says she was unable to the uttermost. You have the very parallel statement in Hebrews chapter 7. He is able to the uttermost. You have the inability of man, and you have the power of God. Now, that's still the situation today. Men and women are unable to the uttermost by the depravity of sin, by the corruption of evil, by the power of Satan, by the temptation that the flesh gives into. They are unable to the uttermost to set themselves free. They're unable to the uttermost to save themselves. They're unable to the uttermost to be holy and upright and godly. They're unable to the uttermost to escape the wrath of God. But he is able to the uttermost to save them that believe. He's able to save them that come unto God by him. And when he saves them, he is able, Jude 24 says, to keep you from falling. Now understand that. That's not pie in the sky. That's not some overblown, overstated, hopeful promise. That's a statement of absolute fact. If that's not true, then you can take the whole Bible and throw it out. Because if that can't be depended on, how could you believe that God is and God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him? How could you believe I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life? This is just a statement that's of absolute simplicity and factuality. He is able to keep you from falling. Now understand the context. Some people want to divorce this from its context, and if you're not living sinlessly perfect, then they want to wrap you up in the bondage of guilt and tell you that somehow you're not seeing this fulfilled. Jude is writing against the background of apostasy. And the fall that he's talking of is a falling away from Christ. He's talking about such a fall as he describes in the earlier verses of his little epistle. And he's saying, listen, when God saves you, he keeps you. Christ didn't shed his blood for you to forget about you. He didn't redeem you to abandon you. He is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. That's what he's able to do. I want to tell you that's what he's going to do in every case. But he's able to keep you. Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Satan wants to get at every Christian. Never forget that we are wrestling against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are wrestling, and the wrestling is hand-to-hand combat. It's not war with the devil using smart missiles. It's hand-to-hand combat. It's toe-to-toe between the Christian and the powers of hell. We wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies. But he's able. He's able. He has given us a full armor.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.